Welcome back to the Indiana Bible College podcast, where today we have student Rustin Young, all the way from Oklahoma, preaching a message entitled, Called to Be Conformed. But before we listen to that, I'd like to ask you to check out www.gotoibc.com/connect. Ticket sales launch today for that registration, and there you can find out more about how we can connect with you and how you can partner with us and we can partner with you in taking your ministry, your training to the next level at IBC Connect. We look forward to seeing you then, and until then, we pray that you enjoy this message from Brother Rustin Young, Called to Be Conformed.
Give that hand clap to the Lord real quick. He's worthy of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. What an awesome word that was, huh? Amen. I appreciate that, Brother Nick. I'm over there getting convicted about cheating, and I'm over there wondering if, you know, cheat meals are in that category. Does pizza count? Because I had one last week. Forgive me, Lord. Some of y'all better repent for cheating on your midterms, too. That's the Lord talking. Sorry. I got this on 2 days' notice, so I didn't have time to sugarcoat it. So, anyway. Praise God. Praise God. All right. If you will turn in your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 8, verse number 26. And we're going to go all the way to verse 29. And while you're turning there, I just want to turn my attention to the staff at IBC. I greatly appreciate you guys and giving me this opportunity. You guys don't even know how much you've impacted my life. And I'm forever grateful for their example and their investment. Y'all realize they don't have to be here. Amen. They're incredible people. They could be doing anything else, but they chose to do what God called them to do. Praise God. I just want to say that I appreciate the student council for their leadership and guidance and examples for the rest of the student body. I think they hold it up in great integrity, and I appreciate them for that. All right, the Word of God, Romans chapter 8, verse number 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints, according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. If you put your Bibles down and lift your hands, I want to ask the Lord to anoint this word. Lord, anoint me. Touch me, God, that I might bring forth your word. Lord, that we would leave this place more like you, O God, and that we would apply the word to our lives properly and seek the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you give the Lord a hand clap of praise real quick? Praise your holy name, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen. I want to talk to you for just a moment on the subject of called to be conformed. You may be seated. Called to be conformed. As Christians, as apostolics, our ultimate goal in this life should be to be like Christ, to portray his character in our everyday lives, a life of yielding and submission to the Spirit, a life to which absolutely nothing is withheld from God, a life that fulfills the greatest commandment and the second like unto it in Matthew chapter 22, verse number 37, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. All of the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And if we are to be like Christ, we are to keep these two commandments. a life of separation from the carnality and the mindset of the world. We know this from Romans chapter 12, starting at verse number 22. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He says, be not conformed to the world, but you are to be conformed to something. Amen. Are you tracking with me so far? Amen. As apostolics, our primary concern must not be self-centered. But in every unexplainable situation, we must not seek our own happiness and fulfillment, but we must seek to be like Christ in the midst of the situation. Amen. We have to realize that trials do come, folks. Infirmities do happen. Situations do arise that are out of our control. And if my primary goal in life is my own self-gratification, well, then I might be inclined to lose all hope when things go bad. But I just want to encourage somebody today that God did not call you out of darkness simply for your own gratification, but he called you out of darkness because he has a goal for you. Amen. Amen. He has a goal for each and every one of us. To them that are called according to his purpose, for whom he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Amen. What is this goal? His goal is for us to be like Christ. His goal is for us to be holy. His goal is for us to be unblameable. His goal is for us to ultimately conform completely to the image and character that Christ portrayed during his earthly ministry. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I'm not arguing that Christians should always be depressed, but the Bible makes it clear that as we have been made partakers of Christ, we have been made partakers of his suffering. And I believe that there's a misconception about Christianity that we're supposed to live in this continuous state of bliss, not even acknowledging the world around us is in tragic, tragic destruction. Amen. The Bible says suffering will happen. But as suffering will happen, the Bible makes it also clear that even though there will be suffering, there will be comfort. Even though there will be pain, there will be peace. Even though there will be sadness, there will be that joy unspeakable in the Holy Ghost. If you will just yield yourself to the Holy Ghost and be conformed to the image of Christ, it's not about happiness, it's not about my own gratification. It's about being like Christ. Amen. Amen. Incidentally, only in Christ can you find that true joy unspeakable. Only in Christ can you find true fulfillment. Amen. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. For he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul." I like the quote from C.S. Lewis, Mere Christianity. He says, God cannot give us peace and happiness outside of himself because it is not there. It does not exist. We were created to run on God, if that makes sense. Everyone understand? Praise God. Amen. The only way to be fulfilled is to be conformed to the image of God, to the image of Christ. Amen. And even though trials do come and infirmities do happen, I just want to bring a little bit of clarity to this and say that sometimes God allows things to happen to those that he loved to teach us to rely solely on the Spirit. Amen. God did not put you in a situation that you hate because he wants you to be sad, but he's molding you into the person that he has purposed you to be. It's all about the goal, ladies and gentlemen. It's all about the purpose. And if there is someone in here, and I imagine there is, who is going through something today, not knowing why, questioning if this is all worth it, I just want to encourage you that God still has a purpose for you. He still has a goal for you. And I want to encourage you, don't get caught up in how you're feeling right now, but keep on praying. Keep on fasting. Keep on pleading the blood of Jesus, because he has a purpose for every one of us in the name of Jesus. And that purpose is to purge out everything that doesn't need to be there so that we can completely rely solely on the Spirit and be as Christ was. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. He puts us in certain situations in order to teach us to rely on the Spirit in order to bring forth fruit. Amen. I like how Brother Kilman said it. He said, tongues is the immediate evidence that one has been filled with the Spirit, but there is a long-term evidence, and that is the bearing of fruit of the Spirit. Amen. I like the quote by J.C. Ryle. He says, tell me not of your justification unless you also have marks of sanctification. Boast not of Christ's work for you unless you can show the Spirit's work in you. Amen. It's all about the goal. It's all about who we were purposed to be. Not who we think we're supposed to be, but who God knows we're supposed to be. Amen. And the ultimate goal is to get us from where we are to where he has called us to be. Everyone understand? Awesome. I want to take your attention to another text. James chapter 1, verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Amen. To be like Christ means to be living a life of separation and holiness, a life that is separate from the mindset of the world, the mindset of self-indulgence and gratification. As the Bible says, to be carnally minded is death. Praise God. It's his will for us to remain separate. But it's not enough to remain separate if I'm not ultimately being conformed unto something. Because if I'm not showing the image of Christ in my non-conformity to the world, then I'm trying to lead people to myself. Can I be honest with you today? Amen. It's always funny hearing people kind of guess what Pentecostals are. I remember I've had several jobs. I worked a lot of jobs before I came here. I was a welder for 3 years before I came to IBC. And a lot of them, they've heard of Pentecostal. They knew I was the, you know, the crazy tongue talker Pentecostal. And they always give a good guess of what Pentecostals are. He's like, why do you make your women wear the skirts and their hair in a bun all the time? And I was like, I don't make anyone wear their hair in a bun. I guess it's just a comfortable, convenient hairstyle. I don't know, you know? But they always have this idea of what Pentecostals are. Amen. And it often has to do with the distinction of the way the women dress. Amen, because they don't dress like the world. Praise God. Are you thankful for holiness standards? Praise God. Amen. Amen. And I want to tell you something, that it's a wonderful thing that our ladies are not dressing like the world and living a life of modesty and distinction. But when Brother Matt Yater was here and he sort of informed us as to who was doing the most work on the mission field, and he said 80% of the ladies are doing the work and 20% of the guys are doing the work. I mean, that's a great thing, but I was like, come on, what's happening here? Yeah. Amen. I want to make a point clear here today that since we are all called out of darkness, the responsibility of separation falls on everybody, not just the ladies. Amen. In other words, they should be able to tell a distinction from me and the other people at my job. Amen. I should not fit what they are used to. Amen. They should be able to tell a difference between me and the world. Praise God. Amen. Amen. If you match what they are used to, there's something wrong here. Amen. I'm not saying you got to get up on a pedestal when it's time to clock in, preach condemnation till it's time to clock out. That's not what I'm saying. You know, you need to do a good job at your work. But if you've been at your job for 4-8 months now and not one person knows you're an apostolic, something is wrong here. Something is wrong here. Amen. What are you conforming yourself to? Do you want people to come to you, or do you want to lead people to Christ? The only way to lead people to Christ is to yield to the Spirit and produce fruit, which reflect the character and image of Christ. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Didn't even write that down. I don't talk much, so when I get the opportunity, it just kind of all comes out. I'm sorry. But separation, it's not just for our sakes. That's what I'm trying to get at. But it's for the people who are in this lost, dying world that need an answer. And how can we give them an answer if we can't show them the one who is able to save them? Praise God. I can't save anybody. Amen. I can study all I want to, and I can learn all the arguments and learn how to win debates. But ultimately, if I cannot learn how to love people like Jesus loved people, if I cannot learn how to have compassion like Jesus had compassion, if I can't meet people where they are, then it doesn't matter how much I study. It doesn't matter what arguments I have. We've got to be more focused on winning souls than winning debates. Come on. Praise God. And I'm not speaking against debates. They're fun. Don't get me wrong. But what is the goal here? Amen. It's true that Jesus was smart and he studied, but we need to serve God with every aspect of our lives, not just our intellect, because intellect can't save anybody. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength and mind. Quoted the New Testament version. But in the Old Testament, it says all thy might. There's only three, so that's that clarification. But anyway, I remember over the summer, God spoke to me one night. Not audibly, but he laid something really heavy on my heart. And I wasn't even praying, I was sleeping, and he woke me up out of sleep, and I just felt this heavy, heavy burden that God had placed on my heart. And he said, Rustin, I don't want to be equal to anything in your life. Can I get an amen on that one? I don't want to be equal to anything in your life. You love me, Rustin, there's no doubt, but you love other things just as much as you love me. Amen. And the Bible clearly says that you cannot serve two masters, for you will love one and hate the other. It reminds me of the stock market. I don't know if any of you have ever purchased stock before, and I'm not advocating for this. I just want to use it as an illustration. But basically, when a company is open to the public, it's funded by the investments of others. People who are willing to come and purchase a certain amount of shares of that company. And depending on how well the company is doing will determine how expensive each share is. And an investor can come and purchase a certain amount of shares, and he becomes a partial owner in that company. And the idea is to purchase the shares, the company does good, the price of the shares go up, and you sell them for more than you bought them for, and you make profit. It doesn't always work that way, but that's the idea. But as long as he has those shares in his possession, he is a partial owner of that company. And I just want to make it clear here today that the Bible tells us very, very clearly that we were purchased by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. He says, we have been bought with a price. You are not your own, in other words. And you know what? I don't think that God is satisfied with partial ownership of your life. Amen. Because he has purchased you with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, wholly and entirely. He's not satisfied with one share of your life. Amen. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. All thy soul, not just a share, not just a portion, not just a part, with all of it. Amen. Amen. Praise God. He's purchased you, every one of us. But the question is not whether or not he purchased me wholly and entirely. The question is, am I allowing myself to be purchased by something other than God? Am I selling myself to something? And you know, I don't think the devil minds having a share of your life, personally. I don't think he minds having just one part of your life. That hour in the day where you cater to the flesh, I don't think he minds, because if he can get you to not worship God with all your heart, with all your soul, then I would say his mission is pretty well accomplished, don't you? Amen. His goal is to deceive us. And we cannot afford to limit God to an hour or the first 2 hours of our day. But the Bible says to pray without ceasing. We should always be in a mindset of prayer. Praise God. Not just a share. Amen. I'm hurrying up. I want to take your attention to Judges chapter number 16. Now, we've all heard of Samson, and we all know the story of Samson. Amen. And I want to just kind of go through his life, and we'll see if we can spot out the bumps in the road that ultimately led to his demise. Amen. Excuse me, I got a dry throat today. Forgive me. I'm going to start at verse number 15. And she said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death, and that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. And if I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. Now we all know what happened. She took occasion to this confession, and she bound him up and had his hair cut off and had him delivered to the Philistines. Praise God. But I want to take your attention to verse number 20. Sorry, the light is really blinding up here, so I'm trying to see. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Amen. I wonder how comfortable in your own carnality you can be before you realize that the Lord has departed from you. Amen. How comfortable do you need to be in the world and not realize going into battle that your source of strength is not with you? Amen. Amen. But if you ask me, it doesn't seem like he accidentally told her. You know, I don't believe it was just kind of a haphazard slip of the tongue. But she vexed him for many days. And I believe he weighed it out. You know? And the reality is that we've got to come to realize is that he weighed it out and it didn't mean as much to him anymore. It wasn't worth putting up with this crazy lady's nonsense anymore. Amen. What leads to this? What leads to someone not thinking that this is worth trouble and tribulation anymore? Well, we can get an idea if we go back a couple chapters. Chapter 14, Samson's first wife. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath. The daughters of the Philistines. Deuteronomy 7:3, you cannot marry someone who is not circumcised. Amen. There's one rule, but it's just a rule, right? I mean, it's just, you know, the law of Moses. There's a lot of stuff in there. We don't really have to, you know, keep everything right there. So I'll just lay my eyes on her and I'll go marry her. There's one share. Small share. He still had everything. He still had the anointing of God. But there goes one share. Amen. And then we come to the lion. He saw a lion, and he rent it. And then he comes back and says, sees honey in there, you know? And he's like, man, I'm hungry. Some honey sounds good right now. Eat it. Leviticus 11:3, touching a dead carcass. It's just a rule, right? I mean, it's not like God told Moses this or anything. It's just a rule. Another share. Can you see how his reverence to the law of God is slowly dwindling down? Amen. And then we come to chapter 16. And then Samson went to Gaza. Does anyone know what he was doing in Gaza? He was there to see a harlot. Amen. And we talk about it like he won a great victory that day. But what was he doing there? What were you doing there, Samson? Another share. Amen. And it ultimately gets to the place where we began. And Samson's reverence for the law that he was born under, his own birthright, his own source of strength, was not worth the trouble anymore. So he had no problem selling out. Amen. And I want to tell you something today, that even though the devil doesn't mind owning a share, he's not going to stop there. He's going to entice you and tempt you in every way possible. That's his mission. We think of Satan as some ugly, horrible beast, but he was the most beautiful creature ever created. His mission is to entice you. Amen. Until you give up everything that you've been taught and sell out. Praise God, because you can't hold on to this truth and not care about the holiness standards that the school, that the organization, that God has ordained. Amen. If you'll all stand, I'm going to close. And the musicians can come up if you want. Praise God. We got to ask ourselves a serious question in the midst of trials, in the midst of any unexplainable situation. Am I, as Samson was, and primarily concerned with my own self-gratification? Or is the ultimate objective to be like Christ? And if it's like Christ, then I'm not willing to give up any share. We shouldn't be willing to give up anything that we've been taught here. Amen. It never starts with backsliding as Samson did, but it starts with a, you know, maybe I'll wear these sleeves a little shorter, you know, getting a little bigger, you know. I want to show off, you know, in a slow process of slacking on the holiness that God has given us. If you will close your eyes with me today, I'm done. But I think we need to make a commitment to God here today and be real with ourselves as to where we're at with God. Amen. God, is my ultimate objective to be like you? To be the person that you called me to be. Hallelujah. If it's not, God, then I need you to purge out anything that doesn't need to be there, God. Because you are my defense, oh Lord. You are my strength. And I don't want to give up my source of strength for a single moment of pleasure. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. Oh, come on. There's room at the altar today. Hallelujah. He's a loving and merciful God. You're always welcome to come back and lay it down before him.